little question concerning. Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay because I didn't know that you want to record it or not. I have a question about the Nam mantra.
Okay.
It's okay.
Because as far as what?
Yeah. Okay. I choose to say, okay, I go for 2 hours a day, like Ramakan say on the book, okay? Spend 2 hours, because I did before 1 hour, half an hour, yes, I know, going for, and you say, Alain, you want a result, you want transformation, you have to invest yourself seriously. Okay, I say, okay, I go for 2 hours. Now what I see, because I observe what's going on, so like you said, the mantra is like, when the mother gives some toys for the children, and you can have kind of a peace. So I see all these things coming up. I say, no, don't go there. Just stay with the mantra. And I see more and more thing comes up. Don't go there. Stay with the mantra. That's what I'm doing right now. That's the way I do it. If I can say do it, because my English is not very good. Is that a... have to do with fast or slow? Is that give any, or just let it come like it's coming?
The only thing that I would say is Maharaj says in the beginning you sit for meditation with mantra.
Yeah.
The mantra should be all the time.
Yeah.
Like it should be, you know, not a specific time. After a while, there's not a time where I sit. I mean, there could be, like, let's say I'm sitting waiting for something to, I'm waiting in line. That's a perfect time to just kind of drop back into the mantra. But the mantra should be like, as you're saying, you start to see, because the children are playing with the toys, you're able to see things for as they are, and there's no need to speak about what's going on. And you're just kind of gliding through. You remain with mantra. The true is that you will begin to listen to the mantra as it's naturally sort of running through the body, because you and the mantra are one. So you will merge, so to speak, because it's erasing all the illusory layers that are covering your presence. So if you are going out, and okay, mantra, but sitting for quiet meditation and concentrating on the nose and all of this, this should be done for some time.
Yeah.
And then it should just be like, literally, like you just stand up and start walking around and that mantra is there. And while you're out in the world doing what you do, you can see, oh yes, mantra, mantra. And that's why instead of using mind or going to mind, you go to mantra. So if you're, let's say, you know, at work, you're among a whole bunch of people, or in the grocery store, a whole bunch of people, and everything's very busy, you can just sit and enjoy mantra while grocery shopping, enjoy mantra while walking around the lake, enjoy mantra while you're in a meeting. Your supervisor starts to talk to you, you can enjoy mantra while listening to the supervisor, and just... as you're one with the mantra, no illusory concepts can stick with you, stick on you, stick to you. But yeah, in the beginning, you want to use mantra. And then after a while, it's like you don't have to sit for meditation even, because the meditation is to invite the invisible listener, the invisible meditator.
Yeah.
And you remain with the meditator until the concept of meditation and the concept of meditator dissolve within the meditation. So it's just a natural, the entire world is occurring within your mantra. All the activities are occurring within the mantra. Just as all the world and all the activities used to seemingly occur within the thought process. You know, instead of thinking about what's going on, you remain with mantra. You see in the moment, the scene is coming, the scene is going, and you remain.
I'm not there right now, but that will be.
This is, yeah. So, and even, you know, like you said, okay, I was sitting for mantra for half an hour, then now 2 hours. And next time you're sitting just in that 2 hour time period or whatever, just get up and move around and notice mantra's still there. Or even mantra quietly in the mind going while you're doing other activities. This is how, like I spoke about in India, I got the mantra. I was sitting and I was using mantra as I was instructed. And then after the quote meditation was over, I went back to the room and kept the mantra, mantra, mantra. And that's what got this body up and went and shaved the beard and cut the hair and all this sort of stuff. And then started wandering all around India. All around Nashik, like 10 kilometers away. I know that because I had to take a little rickshaw back to the ashram. And Maharaj actually scolded me and said, you know, you can't just be wandering all around. It is a city. Like, you know, you wouldn't go to New York City and just wander around the place. So, you know, but I was just so carried by this mantra. And this is the mantra in action. When the mantra starts to move the body without the thought of I am moving.
Okay. And that's come naturally.
Yes.
Okay. So I just have to do what I, because now is there something to do with, but you have to start somewhere and eventually it's gonna, I can kind of a flip. The mantras came natural and you move with.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You're just, you know, like I said, you go throughout the whole day and you may not be concentrated on mantra, but you know, the mantra is running in the background and you can drop back in and, oh, there's mantra.
That's starting a little bit.
Yeah.
That's starting a little bit right now. Okay.
Exactly. Instead of flowing along with thoughts, you flow along with mantra.
Right now, there are both, but I can observe more the thought because there's a part of the attention going to mantra. And because the attention is there, I see that the thought are, okay, I can see the game. Okay. And I can start to see, I got a choice. You go to the mantra, but you go with all this garbage, if I can talk like this.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely true.
Just would like to check with you and then thank you very
much. Absolutely. And you're creating in your experience, like the times that you're waiting in line or the times that you're stuck in traffic. You don't see that as, oh, I'm stuck in traffic or, oh, I'm waiting in line. No, this has been created in the experience to remain with mantra and go deeper and deeper and deeper into my selfless self and further and further and further away from the conceptual world of traffic, waiting.
Yeah.
And even the concept of being patient is dissolved because there's no one there to be patient.
Right now, it's kind of, I cannot say fighting, but I can see, I got a choice, but the attraction to go back on the old pattern and say, no, and some resistance and something was attraction for mantra and the attraction for all the body mind world. And so there's a kind of, not war, but in between.
There's a pulling,
Yeah.
This I described when I went to the jewelry store in India, the very first time I went in, it was gold. And I mean, it was very inexpensive, you know, for gold. And I was just like, oh my God, I have to have this gold. Look at all this gold. I mean, I could really buy a lot of gold. And it was, you know, I had been with Maharaj. I had taken mantra, all this sort of stuff, but I was like overwhelmed with this gold.
Yeah.
And I went back and I told Maharaj about this because I'm reporting. And I said, it was like this bubbling, like if you shake a soda and then open and everything goes everywhere, there was this bubbling in me. I want this gold. But I stayed, remained calm, mantra continued. The beautiful thing was creating in the experience again. Another devotee came in. And we went back to the gold store, and this time it was quiet. There was no pull.
Okay.
Now, see, had I given in that moment and said, well, you know, I'm being very spiritual. I took mantra. I'm staying at the ashram. But there's no harm in buying, like, $1,000 worth of gold or something. You know, I mean, come on now. We're then it would have been a problem. The same as with the Red Rocks beads. Had I put those back on, I would have been surrendering and needing the support of the beads, needing the support of a body-based element when you're formless. It's impossible to understand your formlessness if you're relying on a form-based object for your spirituality.
And it's a choice.
Exactly. Taking the choice of buying the gold, you're literally trading yourself, the spirit, for gold. And
it's a choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And the world will, as we were mentioning, turn up the heat.
When you make that choice, all the other one rise.
Your attraction will be very, very strong. The more you kind of choose mantra and choose your own selfless self over the world, it's almost as if the world keeps trying to be more and more and more attractive. Because you could say in the conceptual Maya, it's trying to pull you back in. And you remain with selfless self. And then no matter what happens, eventually the 911 alarm fire that used to attract you is no more attraction.
Okay.
Because you're basically training the mind to mantra. Mm-hmm. Instead, mind goes out, no, mantra. And after a while, then it's like the mind is saying, okay, my job is done.
Okay.
Because my mind was to keep you trapped in the world and the thinking process and to be attracted to these things. But you've kind of won the game, basically. You know yourself in a real sense. You are that. And the mind, which is a conceptualization to remind you that you are that, is now removed. Okay. It basically bows down to you instead of the conceptual egoistic sense of self bowing down to the mind. That's why Maharaj says you are the master.
It was helpful last week when you were talking about things falling away, because I think, in Christian tradition, we talk about practicing the presence. And you talked last week a lot about the presence was pulling you in, and it was things were just falling away. And you realize that practicing the presence or being in presence, those things, just like the gold, was no longer a pull for you. And it was very helpful last week when you, we've heard your story before, but somehow when I was identifying with the presence and how things have fallen away, because I found that to be true in my experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was thinking this week about memory, because when you're identifying as selfless self and the scenes keep coming, then there is no memory, because it's, you're not identified with any of it. And I was thinking about some time back, I was sort of pulled to review anything in my lifetime that had any charge to it. And I was neutralizing it, because I was realizing that didn't have any pull, because it wasn't who I was.
Yeah, very much. Memory just becomes images, you know, as if somebody was showing you a slideshow, but you're not saying like, oh, that's when I did X, Y, Z. There's just images.
Images.
The memory is no longer impressing that I was there. It's it's not even it's literally just like a slideshow.
Right.
And you can say, okay, yeah, back then when I was in high school or whatever, you see the images, but it's not like it was in the past where you would kind of try to put yourself there. You'd see the image and then mind, because you are that, you're projecting, and you're projecting the feelings of the moment and the sensations and all of that based on being an object in time. But now it's literally just like a slideshow of, oh, here we are, this, we are that, but there's no pull to it. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. Yes.
And now in the moment, as you know yourself in a real sense, the memories are very strange, because you're not, you're not in time anymore. It's just scenes appearing and disappearing.
Yeah.
And other than looking at the calendar or knowing, you know, what day it is or whatever, mm-hmm. there's not a lot of timeline conceptualization of an object experiencing time mm-hmm. and moving even. It's mm-hmm. scenes are coming and going, and I am remaining. I am here. Right. And the I is no longer a personalized I. The I is literally space. So space. Mm-hmm. Every time you even conceptualize yourself and say, who is this I? Well, mm-hmm. as Maharaj says, if at all you want to compare, compare yourself to sky or space.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I is mm-hmm. this formless presence. And every time I speak I, that's what I'm speaking as. So there's nothing that can stick to that formless presence at all, because everything is within presence. Presence is not within anything. It permeates everything because everything is in it, but it's not confined in any way. So even when you say I, or you think about I is no longer an individualized or local identification. I is everything. Which is then nothing, because it's no thing, but yeah. it's everything, because all things are within you. And that's why the mind, you know, what can the mind say about you now? Because you're prior to mind, and now you know you're prior to mind, and mind is presenting images in the form-based world through conceptualization of being something in a world, and you know yourself as not this. So mind basically is going to give up. It's just, okay, you know, like Maharaj says, you are the master. The mind bows down and says, okay, you know, we tried attracting you. We tried doing this, doing that. I think that goes along the lines of the story of the Buddha when he was sitting at the tree and like the demons came out and then they offered him gold and they offered him all these things. And he remained very, very like stoically positioned,
yeah.
which is basically just the description of your own selfless self, losing the attraction to the world because you know yourself. What can attract you?
It was like Jesus 40 days in the wilderness where he was tempted, because I think, as you were saying earlier, the more that we are identifying as selfless self, then the ego mind will try to escalate and see whether it can take hold. Anything can take hold.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even the fact, like when the devil was saying, throw yourself off this mountain and million right. angels will come and grab you.
Right.
That's the pride of being God. No,
yes.
this is not my for me.
Yeah.
Or if you bow to me, you'll own the world. You'll rule mm-hmm. the world. But the world is illusion. Yeah. If I bow to some illusory thing, it's like me worshiping the red rocks, believing that it's drawing mm-hmm. the presence and making it stronger. No, we discard this.
Right.
All the religions are saying the base experience of understanding, of coming to know yourself in a real sense. They just do it in a little bit more different way, depending on the audience, basically.
When Jesus said he had overcome the world, he didn't believe any thought forms anymore.
Exactly. But people thought, oh, he's overcome. Because you listen to that through the perspective of being a body, and to overcome the world means what? I am like God, I am ever, you know, but that's not what he's saying. I have overcome the world because the world is absolutely illusion, and I've seen through this.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And Buddha, when he talks about nirvana is simply the absence of everything, which you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while you're in this body-based existence, because this body is maintaining and providing you, like they talk about a food body, it's the food for consciousness or the food for presence to experience the illusory existence for a time, then you will go on this journey because you believe yourself to be something. And the cool thing is, as you progress in this conceptual journey, it will all make sense because you can look at, and that's why it's important, like you say, oh, okay, I read this book and I read that book. But Maharaj says, that's your story. The Bhagavad Gita is not some amazing spiritual text. Krishna is saying, I am, but he's not speaking as Krishna. He's speaking as the formless presence, saying, all the world is within me and how to do this and the ways to worship. Jesus, the same way. He's saying, this is, you know, before Abraham was, I am. Not Jesus is. He's only like 30 at the time or whatever. But he's saying, I'm no longer identifying with this body that's labeled Jesus. I am everything. I'm formless presence. Buddha, the same thing.
Same
Krishna, the same thing.
Same thing.
It's just the way that the formlessness within the body-based existence expresses the understanding of ultimate truth.
Right.
And it's nothing special. That's the worst part, is to say, oh, now I understand the ultimate knowledge.
Right.
No, because the I that understands is formless. And everything that's understood is within form. Mm-hmm. So how can that be anything special?
Right.
It's like you saying, I understand my dream. You know? Okay, well, this is very nice. Okay, good. You are the master of your universe and your dream. Okay. And the main thing is, now you know yourself in a real sense. There's no need to be special because there's no concept of a local identification that can have any special attributes. You are attributeless. You know this. All attributes have been added on only in appearance. And yes, you still have the body. Okay, you still have the body. But it's you're having this body and all the bodies because everything is within you. And whether this body is here or not, you are. The one to whom presence, the sense of existence, I am, appeared, was there. Now there's a knowledge of existence. But you couldn't have a knowledge of existence if you did not exist. You existed prior to the knowledge of existence. And you will exist after the knowledge of existence is no longer known. The dissolution of the knower is not the dissolution of you. There is no birth or death because there's no individual that's being born or dying. And it goes back again to, if I'm formless, then the world is my mind. Because I'm no longer thinking that my mind and my thoughts and everything are up in some kind of like head. I'm formless. So then what's the world? Well, the world is an appearance, just like a thought, just like a dream, within the formlessness that you are. You can say, oh, I'm experiencing this sense of peace. Well, if I say I'm experiencing this sense of peace, then I am locally identifying with something. Because I is everything. There's no experience, no experiencing. So I don't need to give that to any kind of thought flow. Oh, what amazing peace I'm feeling, or oh, this peace is so good. I can just remain with my selfless self in selfless self-intoxication without anyone experiencing selfless self-intoxication, because there's the absence of all things. And I just remain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the spiritual ego is another way that I'm trying to get a hold of us. I have such peace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Remain with yourself, and there is no disturbance because there's no churning of a something that can be disturbed.
Yeah, right.
You spoke about that nothing special, and I don't know, a few weeks ago I was experiencing what I felt like I'm at this base point of kind of like nowhere to go with. I felt like I was kind of knowing myself, and it didn't feel special, and it felt kind of boring. And then I kind of realized later that I could, if I turned towards bliss, it seemed like I could enter where it's not, I wouldn't say it was special, but it was blissful, and it wasn't boring anymore. It was like I could just turn to that. You know what I mean by that?
I understand.
All that cool boring.
That would be a time where I say, I am everything. No experience, no experiencer. This experience comes and goes. It's nice, but it's no need to look. Mm-hmm. It's no need to get stuck and say, oh, I love the bliss. Mm-hmm. Just forget about that. Because I am everything. And if I am everything, I is now identified with presence. When I say I, it's formless presence. So formless presence, there's no experience, no experiencer. So what is the value of any experience? There is no value, so I can discard it. It's nice progressive steps, but it's when you say, I had these experiences, you're kind of locally identifying yourself as an object who can have experiences. Mm-hmm. So instead, replace this I with I as presence, no experience, no experiencer. I is no longer even experiencing Keith. I no longer has a local identification through spoken word or through thought. No identification with the thought flow as I am thinking. No, I am formless presence. Thinking is happening, but I am not creating the concept of a thinker thinking. A thought. And again, when you know yourself in a real sense, this concept of mind, you see it literally bow to your feet. It bows to the feet of the guru, just as the disciples bow to the feet of the guru when they go to the ashram, because you are that. So there is no nothing. Like you're the concept of freedom is your last concept, and this is discarded.
Yeah.
And the concept of bondage is immediately dissolved the moment you know yourself in a real sense. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. If I'm not body and there's formless presence and I'm formless presence, how can this concept of bondage bind that which is formless? And even to say the body is bound is kind of a silliness, because the body is just a lump of the five elements. There's no bondage in body. Body can no longer sustain presence. It goes back to the five elements. It was never in bondage. It was never in liberation. It's an inanimate thing, animated by the presence that you are. And that's it. And it's a food body. So as soon as you stop supplying food and water, then there's no more presence in this body, because this body is no more nothing except a lump of goo. It started out as a lump of goo. It will end as a lump of goo. And then burned or buried. But you're not burned. You're not buried. There's no birth, no death, no thinking, no thoughts, no thinker. No experience, no experiencer. No meditating, no meditator. Even the concept of concentrator you see is dissolved within the concentration. It's kind of a baby step to your own self, the concept of meditation. And Maharaj says this beautifully. Prior to beingness, was there meditation? Nope. After leaving the body, will there be any meditation? Nope. Well, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Prior to beingness, you're formless. In this moment right now, you are formless. And after this body, this food body can no longer feed the consciousness, you are formless. Because formless doesn't take shape or change, or it's formless. There is no form. Forms appear within the formlessness and disappear, but the formlessness is unchanged. The dinosaurs were in the formlessness. The Vikings were in the formlessness. The Romans were in the formlessness. The pilgrims were in the formlessness. Everything that's ever occurred has been within the formlessness. And now our modern day times are in the formlessness. It has not changed. The population could explode with hundreds of millions of more people, and the formlessness would not be affected. There could be a famine that wipes out billions of people, and the formlessness is not affected. The entire earth could explode, and the formlessness is not affected.
Something in me draws me towards towards awareness.
Well, awareness is aware of you. You are awareness.
Because I feel. What's that?
Awareness is aware of the concept of you.
Yeah.
So if you're aware of the concept of Keith, then you can't be Keith, because it's an object within your awareness. And again, that goes back to I is presence. Even awareness is an appearance on your presence, because prior to beingness, you were not aware, as there was nothing other than yourself to be aware of. So how could there be awareness? So to have awareness, you have to have something that you are aware of. Oh, I am aware of this object within awareness. But formlessness, that you are. When you're all of everything, there's nothing other, until the concept of duality comes along, because you accept this concept, I exist. Certainly you exist because this concept, I exist, appeared to you. If there wasn't a you there, then the concept, I exist, could not appear. Or even if it did, there'd be nothing that would know this appearance, I exist, because there was nothing there prior to the sense of existence. So now talk about my body-based problems. When we just realized, oh yeah, there was nothing that is everything. And then a sense of existence came to that, in which birthed the concept of duality. And now I say, oh, my life is very troubling. I have these troubles. Wait a minute.
Right.
I don't know, the image of an Ouroboros came to mind, eating its own tail.
Well, see, not even, you're formless. No, nothing. All of these are just appearances within yourself. And you have to have, like, this telescope named John or named Keith to look inside yourself and say, oh, look at all this stuff. And then for a time, there's an identification that I'm an object in a world, seeing a world, experiencing things. But then I know myself in a real sense, and the world is within me. I'm not within the world. No matter whether I appear to be or not, I is not this. That sounds like incorrect English, but it's actually very true. I is not this. I is not anything. I is formless. Again, that sounds like caveman English. I is formless. He is formless too.
I, Tarzan, you, Jane.
Yeah.